I closed the door and slid the chain off its track, opening the door again so I could admit her. She moved past me hesitantly, a crackling brown paper bag in her arms. "I'm in here," I said. I moved into my office with the woman close on my heels. I indicated a chair for her and watched as she sat down, placing the paper bag on the floor. I pulled up a chair for myself. "What support group?" I asked. "It's for parents of murdered children. My daughter died here last April. Lorna Kepler. She was found in her cottage over by the mission." I said, "Ah, yes. I remember, though I thought there was some speculation about the cause of death." "Not in my mind," she said tartly. "I don't know how she died, but I know she was murdered just as sure as I'm sitting here." She reached over and rooted in the paper bag, pulling out a photograph. "This is Lorna. You probably saw this in the papers at the time." She held out the picture and I took it, staring down at the girl. Not a face I'd forget. She was in her early 20s with dark hair pulled smoothly away from her face, a long swatch of hair hanging down the middle of her back. She had clear hazel eyes with a nearly oriental tilt, dark, cleanly arched brows, a wide mouth, straight nose. "She's very beautiful," I murmured. "When was that taken?" "About a year ago. She's my youngest, just turned 25. She was hoping to be a model, but it didn't work out."
"You must have been young when you had her."
21, she said. "I was 17 with Berlin. I got married because of her. I'm still with her daddy, which surprised everyone, including me, I guess. I was 19 with my middle daughter. Her name's Trini. She's real sweet. You have children, Ms. Milhone?"
"Make it Kinsey," I said. "I'm not married."
I probably look like an ordinary woman, but I'm a zombie. The living dead. Maybe a little bit cracked. We've been going to this support group. Somebody suggested it, and I thought it might help. Mace, that's my husband, went a few times and then quit. He couldn't stand the stories, couldn't stand all the suffering compressed into one room. He wants to shut it out, get shed of it, get clean."
"I can't even imagine what it must be like," I said.
"And I can't describe it either. That's the hell of it. You have a child murdered and you go berserk. Sometimes you recover and sometimes you don't. What I'm saying is, I know I'm obsessed. I think about Lorna's killer way more than I should. Whoever did this, I want him punished. I want this laid to rest. The psychologist who runs the group, she says I need to find a way to get my power back. She says it's better to get mad than to go on feeling heartsick and defenseless. So that's why I'm here."
"Taking action," I said.
"You bet."
"You're going to have to do a bit more talking if you want my help. You want some coffee?"
"I know that. Oh, I'd love some. Black is fine."
I filled two mugs and added milk to mine, saving my questions until I was seated again.
"I hate to make you go through the whole thing again, but I really need to have the details, at least as much as you know."
"I understand."
She blew on the surface of her coffee and then took a sip.
"I guess what you have to understand about Lorna is she was an independent little cuss. She did everything her way. She'd been asthmatic as a child and ended up missing quite a bit of school, so she never did well in her classes. Poor thing was allergic to just about everything. She didn't have many friends. I make a point of this because I think it had a profound effect on the way she turned out. She was antisocial, bullheaded, and uncooperative."
She shifted in her seat.
"Asthma medication sometimes caused her insomnia. She didn't like to sleep. Even grown, she got by on as little as 3 hours sometimes. She got in the habit of roaming around at night when everybody else was asleep."
"Who'd she hang out with?"
"Other night owls, I guess. An FM disc jockey, for one. The guy on that all-night jazz station. I can't remember his name, but you might know it if I said it.
And there was a nurse on the night shift at St. Terry's, Serena Bonney. Lorna actually worked for Serena's husband at the water treatment plant.
What sort of job?
It was just part-time, 1 to 5 for the city doing clerical work.
20 hours a week isn't much, I said. How could she afford to live?
Well, she had her own little place, this cabin at the back of somebody's property. It wasn't anything fancy, and the rent was cheap, a couple of rooms with a bath.